Quoting the 2012 movie, "Blue is not so pink." How often do we point at other people just because they're different? Different in the way they think, the way they dress, the way they speak, or the way they love? We forget that we live in a diverse society where everyone belongs and everyone deserves to be heard. We mistreat others because we see them as inferior or less intelligent, or because they have a different skin color. We make jokes about some people because they come from other cultures and have different customs and beliefs. We feel entitled to judge just because they made a choice different from ours. And if instead of pointing fingers, we listened.
Hello, everybody. This is the quote of the day. When we are much stronger, we reach out to each other. Not when we attack each other, but when we celebrate our diversity and together tear down the powerful walls of injustice.
I hear you loud. I hear you clear. Every beat, every voice in here. Turn it up, let the moment ignite. This is your sound, your life tonight.
Every step, every turn,
every fire, every burn.
I'm here for the highs and the lows, in the rhythm it always shows.
I hear you.
Welcome to the soundtrack of your life, a place where stories aren't read, they're heard. Where life isn't measured in years, but in songs. Because every day deserves its own soundtrack. And today we sit down to listen to one of our own through conversations about origins, passions, and music. We celebrated the diversity that makes us unique. Today, we open our ears and our hearts.
Oh, you got a good one. I love it. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So before we delve into your story, we'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what role do you play at the university?
Hello, my name is Esme Hernandez. I am a student here in the Language and Literature program. I'm currently in my third year here at the university after taking two breaks, which were, I feel they were necessary for me because sometimes when life brings you other open doors, you want to take them, right? But I decided that it was nice and all while it lasted, but I really needed to come back and finish my degree. So now I'm back here and I'm very excited to see everybody again after so long. And yeah.
I'm pretty sure we are also happy to see you again, Yira. So to continue, choose what we'll call you in this program. Like it can be your name, your nickname, an alias, an animal, an object. Force of nature.
Of course, my name is Esmeralda, and a lot of people call me Esme, which is for short. I really don't mind which or people choose to call me. I respond to both. I think they're both beautiful names, and yeah, whichever one is easier for you.
Okay, so for all our listeners, this is the voice of Esme. Esme, welcome to the soundtrack of your life. So we always start the podcast with the questions that the previous guest left for you. Without knowing, it was you who was coming. So let me read the question from Lalu. Lalu wrote, "Do you know who Rohingyas are? How much have you heard about them? And if not, just feel free to Google them."
I have not heard of them before. I'm going to be completely honest, but I would love to search them up. So let me take a look. I'm just going to need the spelling of the name, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, I think she wrote it in this way. R-O-H-I-N-G-Y-A-S. While you do that, let me just tell you that we care a lot about what human beings are. So you don't have to do it right now, but whenever you can, make a research on Rohingyas and you will find a lovely, lovely, lovely group of people. In the meantime, I can see your curious face while Googling it. So, I hope eventually you will meet a Rohingyas. You will learn as I did. And also, Rohingyas will learn about you a lot. I personally know you, but I know that whoever meets you will love you, okay? As we did with Lalu.
I see here, it's a wonderful group of people.
Yes. They have struggled a lot in their lives, but right now the world is becoming a better and a safer place for them. Hopefully in the near future we'll have thousands and thousands of Rohingyas coming to Canada, because everybody is welcome here, right?
Of course. Wow, I'm just very intrigued. I know there's so many different groups of people around the world that we've never really heard about. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very beautiful that people bring that to light and bring awareness to these groups. Because everybody in this earth matters, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. This show, as many shows in the world, care about human beings.
Of course.
So Lalu said that even if you want to learn more about her culture, she will be happy to meet you and share a coffee and talk a little bit and learn from you as well. This is not only one-sided interest, right? It's both sides.
I think that's very beautiful and a wonderful question. Very good question for the next person, which was me.
Yeah. She said, like, I wish when I was a child and someone have come to me and ask if I would like to learn more about the world, because she have said at that time, yes, I will love.
Roots and Origins.
So let's talk about childhood. Tell us about your family roots and where did you grow up?
Okay, so I was born here in Kitchener, Waterloo. I was born in the Grand River Hospital, which was back then called KW Hospital.
Huh.
I don't know why they changed the name. I like the old one better.
Do as well.
And then I ended up moving to Quebec City for a little bit, where I grew up a little bit there, went to primary school, and then came back here. And my parents are Hispanic origin. They come from Central America. So one of my mom's country is called Nicaragua, and my dad's country is called El Salvador, which is also a very, very huge part of my origins, because El Salvador wasn't always a nice place. It was very toxic, dangerous.
Yep.
It was a very scary place. Probably one of the most dangerous places in Central America to ever visit.
Yep.
But that all changed until we got an angel of a president who changed everything and was able to bring El Salvador back into the eyes of the world and made it, apparently it's now one of the safest places in Central America now. And it's crazy to me that it went from the most dangerous to the most safest. So a lot of progress. It was a lot of work, and it's constantly getting tourists all the time, and it's progressing a lot. it's progressing a lot. So yeah, in a nutshell, I would say that I am first and foremost Latina because it's in my blood, and it was the first language I learned, which was Spanish. And then I would say I'm French Canadian because I went to a French school. French was my first language after Spanish. And then after that, I would say I'm Ontarian because I was born here. So it's all of them are just part of who I am. And I like to acknowledge all three in the order. In the order. And but at the end of the day, it's all just me. And I feel very glad to speak three major languages in the world and be very diverse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a very powerful skills that you have. And I think everything comes from the place you call home.
Exactly.
For many people, it might seem something different. But for you, what is home? It's a place, it's a feeling, it's a specific group of people.
I would say home is definitely a group of people because I've moved around a lot by myself. I lived in Mississauga for a couple of years and I loved it. I loved living in Mississauga. And last year, I was actually living in Quebec City again, which was very nice. It was very nice for me to go back to like the place where I kind of grew up in. It's changed a lot, but it's a lot of the things are the same. And it felt like it was slowly becoming my home. But to me, the most important thing are the people. And that is my family. My family is always going to be my home no matter where I go. Because even though I was far away from them in Mississauga or Quebec City, no matter where I was, I would always come back to them through the phone, FaceTime and everything. Like where I was didn't feel like home without them being in the picture. So even if it just had to be a phone call or something, I feel like I was bringing a piece of my home with me. And it was very hard because I consider them my home. They're my everything. My family is my everything. My friends that I have here, they're my everything. And they've always stood by my side my whole life. And just being far from them was very hard for me. So, I would say that home for me are the people that make it home, mm-hmm. No matter where I am.
And home brings together many, many different things like sounds. Can you tell us a sound, a specific sound that reminds you were at home or that recalls that that sound represents what home means?
Yes, it's going to be kind of funny, but you find this a lot in a Latin household.
Okay.
At very, very early in the morning, the first thing you hear is all the covers being slammed. King. Cleaning at like 8 in the morning. So for me, obviously, in the moment, you never really appreciate the things you have until you leave home. And for me, when I was still living there, I hated the sound every morning because I just wanted to sleep.
Yeah.
But as soon as I left the house, I realized that those sounds mean home to me because it means that my parents are awake. They're cleaning, they're cooking. And like I said, it's very common in Latin households. And I've seen a lot of memes about that too, of like mothers always being awake in the morning, slamming things. But then when the kid wants to do it, they're like very like slow, make sure they don't slam anything and don't wake up their parents. But that's basically the sound that I hear every morning. And I just know that I'm home. When I don't hear it, I know that I'm not home. You know,
absolutely, absolutely. And you mentioned that noise came from the kitchen usually.
Yes.
Where food is probably being prepared, right? So we think that food is an invisible threat that connects us to home, right? Is there a flavor or even a dish that means more for you than just food? What memories do you hold in that flavor?
the one food, and this might be very biased because I'm Salvadoran, but my favorite thing is pupusas y tamales, because those are very authentic to my culture. And whenever my mom would make those foods, I know we're celebrating something special. So it's usually a holiday or a birthday. And if it was up to us, we would eat that every day, but we need to watch our calories. We need to watch our carbs intake. So we can't really be eating that every day. Unhealthy. It's so delicious, but it's so unhealthy. But this is the type of food to me that holds a lot of memories, because it usually means that we're celebrating something and coming together as a family and joining one another. And I come from a very Christian household, so prayer was always something very important to us before eating, before waking up every morning, like coming together as a family in prayer and enjoying a delicious food on a special day. And it doesn't even have to be a special day too. It's just, it screams home to me as well, those type of foods.
I can see that home for you means a very, very strong ties to your childhood memories.
Yes, of course. And very family oriented person.
Childhood and Ali connections.
And family probably is the first source of our values and principles.
Exactly.
Which value or principle stands out for you, and from whom did you learn it?
I would say my parents. My parents, and then after them, my grandparents, because my grandparents passed it on to my mom and my mom passed it on to me. Family is like such a valuable thing, because at the end of the day, you can have so many friends in the world, but how many of them are really going to be there for you at the end of the day? And I've had a lot of friends in my life, and a lot of them are just there for a temporary time, but your family's there forever. So I know that after God, family is the number one thing for me, and I really appreciate everything that my family does for me. And my parents really put that in my mind as one of the most principal values of me, of my life and everything, that they're always going to be there for you regardless of anything. And we've gone through our ups and downs as a family. We've gone through so many obstacles. And the beautiful thing is how we get over those obstacles and are always there by each other's side at the end of the day.
At that time of your life, you don't realize that, but you perceive who's the closest person, right? And it seems like it was or they were the best friend of you, right? Which family member or even a friend was that the special person that made a special impact on that stage in your life?
So although all my family is amazing to me and means the world to me, I would definitely say my mother, because my mother is like my best friend. My mother has always been my best friend, and I always tell her every single detail of my life, and it's just very beautiful to have someone like that in your life. And I just feel so comfortable being myself around her, and she feels the same way about me. So my mom is always there for me. She's like my superhero. She's always like protected me and saved me from so many things. So I would definitely say my mother is that figure.
And this happens because she only not told you one advice. She has told you many, many, many different advices.
She hasn't just told me advices, but she's also lived to those advices. She's lived up to them. So because she's lived up to them, she's shown examples of it through her actions. So anybody can tell you something, but some people could be like hypocritical about things and not actually apply it to their own life. But my mother tells me things, but she also applies it to her life. And then I see that and I learn from that.
Mm-hmm. And can you share an example with us?
My mom is a very, very strong person. So one advice that she's always told me to do is to always bring people in need and stuff, like people that are always like coming into your life with struggles and stuff, like understand where they come from. And obviously our Christian values apply here as well, because whenever we see people in need our help, we want to help them in any way possible, whether it's food, clothes, or just like sheltering them for a couple days or helping them find what they need. And I've helped so many people in my life because I've seen my mom do that as well with us a lot too, and our friends and stuff. So and it's what God would have wanted us to do as well here on earth. So I apply those values and those advices that my mother gave me, and because I saw her apply it, I started applying it to my life, because you know your parents influence you in your behavior. So I've taken in a lot of people, even if I don't talk to them anymore, at least I was there at a time that people needed someone, you know, because I would have hated to see somebody struggle by themselves. I don't like seeing that, because I feel like we're all put in this world together for a reason. So I really like to be welcoming and take people underneath my wings and help them in as much ways as possible, whether it's just to even just talk to somebody, you know.
And that's probably your parents were advising you, right? They didn't want you to struggle with anything, especially because after you become 16, 17, 18, the fast-paced shift in life starts, right?
Exactly.
And one of the stages is when you come to college or university.
Passions and personal energy.
And you start doing, and every single day is faster and faster and more demanding. And eventually you realize that you are with many things to deal with.
Yes.
But what about when you have to relax? What do you do when you need to go out of this fast-paced situation and just relax yourself?
I'm always constantly caught up in this situation, and I think it's very important to take time for yourself, because if you can't take care of yourself, who's going to take care of you then, you know? How are you able to help the world if you can't help yourself first? That's the number one thing. And whether you feel like you're having a burnout or just a stressful day, or you're being so frustrated with something, like something as small as just school is frustrating you. I've been going through a lot of frustration with school lately, but I've acknowledged that. I know when I need to take a break and step out of the social world for a bit. And what I do for those times, I kind of tend to isolate myself. And sometimes, honestly, isolating yourself can be beneficial, but it can also be very unhealthy too, because it's good to talk about things. And it's very good to express yourself with people that you trust and feel comfortable with. And I'm very lucky to have people like that in my life. And it's helped me a lot, because I've been frustrated and upset a lot this year for many reasons. And I tried that. I tried isolating myself, which is good in the moment. But then you realize that the isolation really doesn't do much. It just makes you feel worse sometimes. You know, I guess it depends on person. But for me, I feel like I think I'm doing a good thing, but I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing my mind on my own. But luckily, I realized that I have amazing people that I can confide with. But yeah, again, it's a good thing to take time for yourself, have like a me day or something, go do therapy, go have a massage, go to a spa, or just take care of yourself and have time to reflect on things that you can work on with yourself, you know, because we're constantly growing, we're constantly learning and changing as humans. So I think it's very important to learn yourself as much as possible and really reflect on the things that make you stronger as a person.
Well, that's life, right? That balance between joy and nostalgia, trying to find a middle point, right? But when you want to have something that draws a smile in your face, what type of pleasure, as simple as it could be, brings to your head that says, this is something that I really enjoy, and brings that smile to your face?
There is one thing. The first thing that came to my mind when you asked me that is music. Specifically singing. Singing has always been my passion. And yes, I grew up in a very musical family. And although I can't really play instruments, I'm very terrible at that, but I use my voice as my instrument. And honestly, it's done wonders for me, because growing up, whenever I felt very alone or very scared or very traumatized or sad or depressed, because, you know, as teenagers, we go through a lot of changes physically, emotionally, because we're growing up, right? Being an adolescent can be very difficult. And for me, music has always been the one thing that lifted me and put a smile on me. When I'm not singing, I start to get very anxious, because singing is what makes me release that stress and put a smile on my face. I feel like there's so much power in music, and I feel like singing, because I love it so much, and it's one of my most, like, it's one of the hobbies that I do the most, because it's my passion. I love to sing, and that has got me through so many ups and downs. I've created my own songs, but of course I've kept them to myself. Because at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's nice to share music with the world, but for me, I do it mostly for myself. I don't think I'm at that point where I'm ready to share my music. To me, it's just something that I go back to and hear myself and be like, wow, I can't believe that was a struggle that I was going through at the moment. And I have a lot of recordings from when I was younger of me singing. And I would sing about what's going on in life. And I would go back to those songs and hear, like, wow, I can't believe I was in that very dark place. But now look at me where I am now, like 10 years later, I've overcome so much things. But to me, music has always been the one thing I confide with and puts a smile on me, because it really does. And you can ask any of my friends or any of my family members, they know that music is the one thing I always do from morning to night, every day, even when I'm happy.
Yeah, I think it's a life-changing moment when you realize that music does have this power.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time when you didn't realize that, and only if you feel comfortable to share with us, is like, what made you or what makes you be afraid of, and how you learn to live with this type of fear?
What makes me be afraid of what specifically?
Anything that brings fear to your head.
I would say there are moments where I do get very nervous, but I'm a very confident person in general, so those moments are very minimum for me. But it's going to sound funny, but the moments where I'm very terrified about anything, which is like something as small as a public presentation. Mm-hmm. I'm a very social person, but sometimes I'm also a perfectionist. So stuff like that can be very scary for me. And to me, like, I think the way I deal with those things is just, it's so funny. I have a motto that goes like this: fake it till you make it. And that's what I do when I'm scared. I put on this fake face just to get through that one scary moment. And then I look back, I'm like, wow, I actually did it.
Yeah.
I did it. I was strong. I was able to hold my composure, and everything. And I was able to overcome that fear, you know? So fake it till I make it. I always tell people this: whenever you're scared or nervous about something, just fake it till you make it. Act like the complete opposite of what you're actually feeling. So if you're nervous and scared, act happy and confident.
Go.
And that's what I always do, and it works. It really works for me.
the university experience.
Absolutely, and for every person who deals with public or other people like that, you do at university, right? Because Laurier is like a mosaic of cultures.
Yes, of course.
And in your opinion, how has encountering so many different life experiences here at Laurier enriched your own history?
The different events that I've gone through here, how they...
Cultures, people from different backgrounds, this experience to share with others help you enrich your own history. Like, now that I met people from here, from there, blah, 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 different backgrounds, help me out to be more proud of who I am or who I want to be.
I feel like it all relates to that one question you asked me earlier about the piece of advice that my mother gave me. And it is to take people in whenever they need you, and people that you meet and stuff that need your help, or maybe not even need your help at all. Maybe just wants to be your friend or get to know somebody. So that advice helped me a lot here at university, because obviously we're in a place, an environment where there's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of types of people. It doesn't even matter like under what umbrella they fall under, whether it's like a different nationality, a different language, different likes and dislikes. Like, there's diversity so much in a university environment because people are coming here from all types of places, different families and different cultures. And I feel like I've met a lot of people here in my time here from all types of places. Even places that I didn't even know about, like the place that our last presenter told us about. So I'm constantly learning new things about people here. So that advice that my mother gave me doesn't just apply for people in help, but it also applies in the way I perceive other people in this diversity environment. I feel like it's helped me shape my knowledge about the world. It's helped me grow more as a person, and it's made me more, I would say, aware too, because people bring awareness just by people sharing their life and their background and stuff. I feel like that's bringing awareness to these different types of places and environments and people. So I feel like I've been able to apply those things that I've learned into my life, because now I might meet somebody again that's from somewhere similar to someone I've met before, and I'm like, oh, I know that culture, or I know that language. And people get very happy when you know about where they, like, their background and stuff. And I feel like I'm very knowledgeable about a lot of places, but it's because of that one thing, that you're in an environment where there's so much diversity, and you just use that to grow as a person, your knowledge and everything, you know, and it helps you become more welcoming towards other people.
And you only live these experiences when you are in places like university, right? Meeting people from different...
Yes. I would say majority, yes, here, because you're here every day. Yes, you can go outside and go to concerts, go to the mall or something, but you don't really build that connection with people outside there. You know, maybe if you're in a club or something, or if you're in like something like a committed thing and you see people frequently, then yeah, I would say yeah. But I don't really do stuff like the extracurriculums like that. So for me, school is like the place where I really meet these different people, you know? So I would say this is the main place where I really get to learn, because I see the people frequently and I speak to them on a daily basis. And you're not just learning about them, but you're also growing that connection and friendship with that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually it's the same place where you experience different things, right? Things that might have some impact in your life. Like, can you recall a experience or a moment where you realized that you started seeing things completely different?
Something
that transformed you at that moment, like change the way you thought about something or someone or anything?
Yes, okay. There was a moment like that, and it was actually this year.
Really?
Yes.
That close?
Yes, it was this year actually that I would say was very transformative. I've gone through a lot of transformative events, but this one really impacted me because I am very proud of my Canadian roots and origins. I'm a very proud to be Canadian. I love the country that I grew up with. I love the country that I'm in. And I'm always very loudly proud to be Canadian. And with being Canadian comes a lot of history. And our history hasn't always been pretty. There's been moments where things have been very messy and very tragic, you know?
Yeah, I...
So last year, as many people know, I've been working as a flight attendant. So I've met a lot of different people mm-hmm. on my flight. We were doing humanitarian work. I don't know if you guys recall the forest fires that we had here in Canada this summer. They were very, very bad this year. The forest fires were very, very terrible this year. And we were doing projects as an airline company. We were doing projects of helping. The Canadian government asked our airline specifically to help with this humanitarian work of getting people evacuated, bringing them to safety. So we would go to these places like Manitoba, which was on fire for such a long time. And we would bring these people to a safe place here far away from their homes. And it was very sad to see people and see how sad they were to leave their homes. They literally had to rush out because they had no time to really pick up their stuff. They had to take whatever they had and be relocated for a while away from home. And a lot of them were very grateful for the work that we were doing. They were very thankful and stuff. And that really impacted me because these are locations that are constantly getting forest fires every summer. So they're used to being moved like every year. So, luckily, they're lucky to get a year where they don't have to do that, but they're constantly doing that every summer and they have no choice because that's where they live, right? Mm-hmm. It's very sad. I felt very sad to see all these people leave their homes. And then when we brought them back home after the fire was clear and everything, they were so happy. They were so thankful with us. It was Indigenous communities. I forgot to mention that. These were Indigenous communities. Mm-hmm. Of people living in the reserves and stuff.
Protected areas, yes.
Exactly. So it's just very nice to be able to help First Nations and all the other Indigenous groups of Canada. And it was very impactful for me because I didn't really know. I would hear about these forest fires, but I didn't know to the extent of how terrible it was. And there's different companies here in Ontario and throughout Canada that specialize specifically in forest fires. And I didn't know that. These companies specialize in relocation, getting them accommodation, getting them food and everything. So it was just very beautiful to talk to these companies and see like the work that they do every year. And I felt very honored to be part of that project because being a flight attendant and helping relocate these people was a very impactful thing for them as well. Even if it might seem little, it was a very big thing for them because we were helping. There was also another scenario. It wasn't related to the wildfires, but it was related to my flight attendant. I did a project somewhere up north in Nunavut, the territory. We went very, very high up in the north of Canada, like probably the highest you could ever go. We were literally in the Arctic Circle. I was in the Arctic Circle. It was summer and it was 2 degrees. Oof. Yeah, and that's normal for them. That's summer for them. 2 degrees. Yeah, 2 degrees is summer for them. So I don't know how they do it, but it was a nice experience, like going up there. I never thought I would ever go to Nunavut. I went to a place called Resolute Bay in Nunavut, and it's one of the islands like way up there close to like Greenland and like Russia and everything, like the Arctic Circle, basically. And in there, it was a lot of Inuit people. So there was a lady at the airport that I met. She was just working there. She was just cleaning and stuff. And I went to the washroom and she was in there and I said hi to her and she said hi to me. She was very friendly. And then she just started talking to me and I'm just like, wow, she's so welcoming and she's so kind and beautiful. It was an older lady and I took a picture of her because I wanted to remember her.
Absolutely.
She told me about stories about her grandmother. She told me stories about the tragic truth of Canada and how much Indigenous groups suffered here in Canada. She told me that a lot of people were native to the province of Quebec,
mm-hmm.
and they were very mistreated by the government of Canada at the time, and a lot of them were exiled to different parts of rural Canada. So people were scattered all the way in the most rural places, and that's why sometimes before I knew about this, I would always ask myself, like, why is there so many Indigenous people in like the middle of nowhere, and these like cold, isolated places? Like it never made sense to me why there's so many in these like far places. But now it makes sense because they're all exiled people.
Mm-hmm.
It's so sad because they were exiled from their homeland and they were put in these far places in the middle of the cold season. She told me that they were exiled in the cold seasons. They weren't even prepared for that.
No.
So she told me that her grandmother was forced to marry someone. They have to travel very far to send kids to school. Like, it's just very, it's very sad to see the things that they endured.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause at the end of the day, this was their homeland. And the people that found Canada were just, I don't know how to say it. They were just
like pilgrims in your own homeland.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine someone coming to your home and telling you to get out.
Yeah.
I would hear about these stories and stuff, but when you're actually hearing it from someone and you're hearing someone that actually went through it, it impacts you very differently. And that's the moment that I feel was very transformative this year. And I took a picture of her and her daughter together and I told her, I will remember you and your story forever. And it was a very beautiful moment for me.
So, and every time you see her picture, what is the feeling you get in your heart?
How beautiful she was. She was a lovely human being. And so many are lovely people, and all of them have to face negativity like that in their homeland. So, when I see the picture, I feel happiness because I met someone very beautiful inside and out. But also sadness because of the stuff that they had to go through that no human being deserves to go through.
Definitely. And that's what exactly this program is about, right? Like, we care about the human being. And probably one of the things that that humanity is not divided by is music.
The song of your life.
And music is the core of our show.
They say music is the universal language.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I hope one day we will have the chances to get her interviewed by us. You never
know. It would be so amazing.
That'll be a weird but lovely connection in our lives, right? You know her just because you were at the proper place.
At the right time.
At the right time. Mm-hmm. And now I know her through your words. And now people will know.
And I'm sharing her story too. Because I've shared that story with a lot of people.
So, mm-hmm. Do you remember her name? Her nickname?
I don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe I put it in the picture. I can't remember. After this, I will check to see if I put her name somewhere.
I can see in your eyes that you were hoping to see her again.
I am.
Eventually.
Yeah. It would be amazing to see her again.
Well, in the meantime, you have chosen a song that defines your life at this very moment, right? So before you say the name of the song, can you tell us what moment or what feeling or what idea this piece of music captures for you?
What this song means to me?
Yep.
It's very, very ironic that you're mentioning moments. Mm-hmm. Because that's what this song is about.
Really?
It's about moments. And it's about moments that will never happen again. So you better make good use of the time that you have in those moments, because they don't happen all the time.
Oof. Well, we want to tell you something before you continue, and sorry for interrupting. So this piece of music that you chose, which until now might have been a personal treasure, will no longer be played only for you. Meaning that from now on, it will have an audience that, upon hearing it, will celebrate with you this exact moment in your life. It will be a reminder for all of us about your story. Can you share with us what song is that?
The song is called Momentos by Julio Iglesias.
I know it.
And it's about, in Spanish, momentos que no vuelven otra vez. And this is a generational song for me because it's been passed on from my grandparents to my mother and my mother to me. And every time my mom and I hear this song, we cry because it just makes us want to live more in the moment and enjoy the time that you have on this earth with your loved ones and the amazing people that you get to meet, like the lady, the Inuit lady that I met and Nunavut. These are momentos que no vuelven otra vez.
Yeah.
And it's now I'm like everything. I'm a strong believer that everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I could have chosen any song in the world, but this was the one that I wanted to choose today. And I feel like it was perfect because there are moments that don't happen always. And that's what the song is about. Moments that don't come often. So you want to make the best of the moments that you have here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Esme, imagine that this song, Momentos, is the soundtrack of a specific chapter in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What would you title this chapter?
I would title it New Beginnings, because New Beginnings, because as cheesy as it sounds, I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I've learned so much and I've tried build this confident person that you see this in front of you today. And I wasn't always like this, but I feel like all these different experiences that I've had, as little as what I just mentioned about the lady I met, or the people I was helping from the fires, or the diversity here in the university. These are all moments in my life that have helped create who I am today. And I don't know, I just feel like this has been the year of an emotional, mentally transformative year for me. And I feel like I just view things a lot differently and like to take advantage of the moments I have. And I don't want to take anything for granted. You know, I don't want to have any regrets. So the reason why I'm choosing New Beginnings is because I feel like a new person. I feel like I've had this coming of age moment where I've really learned a lot about myself and who I want to be, you know? So New Beginnings, because from this moment and on, I'm going to work to build that person I want to be. And I want to be strong. I want to be a good leader. I want to be a teacher. I have to be a good leader to be a teacher. And all these experiences with me, all these stories that have been shared with me, I want to pass them on. This is how you bring awareness. This is how you keep somebody's legacy alive, you know? Like, the lady from Nunavut, she probably doesn't even... Well, maybe she does, because I remember telling her that I love you. I don't know you, but I love you because you're a human being, and I'm put on this earth to love everybody the way God loved everybody here, despite wherever they came from or who they were. Mm. God loved everybody and loved the world so much, and I want to love the world the way he did. And I told her that. I love you, and I'm so sorry that that history hasn't been kind to you and to your family and to your ancestors, but I want you to know that your story that you shared with me today was not in vain, and I will be passing on your story wherever I go. And that's exactly what I've been doing. Like today.
Yes.
I'm keeping my word.
And that's probably what she needed to hear at that time.
Mm-hmm.
A look to the future.
But let's think about the future. Many, many years from now, what would you like them to remember about you? What mark would you like to leave in the heart of those who know you?
I would want people to remember me as the loving person that I've always been, because a lot of people feel comfortable around me because I'm not the type of person that will judge people. Even if someone's done something like an error or a mistake, we all make mistakes. But if you're truly aware of that and want to become a better person, I'm all for that. I just have a lot of compassion. I have a lot of empathy and sympathy for a lot of people that I don't get angry. The only thing I probably get angry at are the video games I play. Like, those are the only things I get really angry with. But I'm usually very happy, and it's because of the love that I bring every day to the people that I meet. I love showing my love through my actions, through my words, and through the things that I like to do to help people and to help this world move in a positive direction. And I just want people to remember me as loving, compassionate, and having that godly love. And what I mean by godly love is that love that God had for all these people that were different. And he would always look past that because he loved us so much. No matter where you came from, who you were, he always did. And he didn't come to this earth for the people that were perfect, quote unquote perfect, because there's no such thing as perfect. He came for the people that needed love and needed him. So the people that were sick, the people that were blind, the people that were struggling mentally or just felt alone or were seen very low by society. He came for all those people. Those are the people he came here for, to help and to love. And that's what I want to be.
What a lovely episode we have today. We started the episode asking you to make a research on Rohingyas people. And now you are bringing us the idea to make more research about Nunavut people. And by the end, we don't need tags, right? The only tag we need to have is we are human beings.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's it?
That's it. Like music.
Like music. The universal language.
Esme, it's been an honor to hear one of the songs from the soundtrack of your life.
The Chain Question and the Gift.
To close this and before letting you go, we usually like to close this circle and connect your story with the next coming for the following week. What question would you like to ask the next guest to get a glimpse into their life? Doesn't have to be professional, doesn't have to be silly, but it could be whatever you
for the next person, right?
Yes.
Wow, this has been a very eye-opening interview, because I feel like everything that we talked about, from the question that the previous member asked me, to the song that I chose, to my story about the people I've met and the transformative moments I've had. Wow, this is the question that I had in mind. What's one momentos that completely change your perspective on life, or something specific in your life? And this is very crazy to me, because it, without even knowing what this interview was going to be about, everything that I wrote down and everything I had in mind was all connected. I feel like from the question I was asked from the previous person, to the questions you've asked me, to the song that I chose, to the question I had in mind to ask at the end of this interview, without knowing, if everything was like tied together perfectly. And that's very surprising to me. And it just makes me feel like everything happens for a reason. And I feel like I was meant to be here today and really be able to share everything I had to share today.
Well, let's wait for the next week and see what their answer about this question is.
I'm very looking forward to it.
In the meantime, I have a small gift for you. This is a small card and a candle, and I wanted to give it to you with a short message. And the message says, thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing your essence with us. This is a tangible reminder of this day.
And the most beautiful part is that I see here that it's a card saying thank you in a diverse languages and multiple languages.
How many do you recognize? English?
English, Spanish, French, German. I'm looking. Oh, I see Arabic.
Oh.
Arabic. Portuguese. And yeah, I think those are the only ones I can see today. Arigato. I know that language. I know that language. Yeah. I forget what language.
Japanese.
Oh, it's Japanese.
Arigato.
Okay. I love it.
Esme, thanks again for being with us today.
Thanks for having me here today.
Remember, throughout our lives, we all experience a little bit of everything. Moments of great joy and success. And also challenges, setbacks, and difficulties. It's part of the human experience. It's the nature of life. However, what's truly important isn't what happened to us, but how we choose to respond to it. We have the power to decide whether to let bad things hold us back or use them as a fuel to keep us going. Therefore, The best tool we have is a positive attitude. This doesn't mean ignoring problems, but rather facing them with the conviction that we can overcome them and learn from them. Always a positive attitude. Always. See you next time.
This is the soundtrack, the soundtrack of your life. Feel the beat, feel the drive, let the rhythm come alive. Oh, this is your time, your story's in the sound tonight. To share, I care about the human being. I care about